Hi, and welcome to my podcast, Pure Happy Healthy. I'm your host, Leandra Haupt, model, entrepreneur, coach, and hypnotherapist. And I'm here to bring you more mindfulness in all areas of your life. Each week, I'll have a different focus on my show. Mindful Me, Mindful Model, Mindful Mensch, and Mindful Master Sessions. Thank you so much for being here and showing up to become the best version of yourself possible. Hi, and welcome to another Mindful Me session. Today I won't be having a solo episode, but I will be sharing a podcast interview where I was a guest at. It was the podcast with Julian Robinson, Deep Thoughts, Deeper Talks. You should definitely check it out. And the topic of this podcast is happiness. And it is so strange, right? I think that's something that we all share in common, the search for happiness as a human. I think no matter where we are at this planet and no matter who we are, in the end, we all just want happiness in all areas of our life and for the people around us and, of course, for ourselves. But we sometimes struggle achieving happiness and we sometimes don't even know what happiness means for us and how we can get there. So we will be talking a lot about that in the interview and also, how, especially at these challenging times, we can try to stay happy and find our inner peace with it. So it's a super, super beautiful interview and I'm super excited to share this with you today. And yeah, I have another exciting announcement to make before we get started. Starting from next week, I will be having new Pure Happy and Healthy earrings. If you follow my Instagram, you know how they look. These are just these super beautiful laser cutter plexiglass earrings saying happy on one side and healthy on the other side. They will be available in red and in yellow and with improved quality. I really perfectionized them over the past month and just so happy and that I have them again and I was able to use the machines, which is not that simple in these crazy times of the lockdown here in Berlin. So check out my Instagram for more info on that. And if you want to have your pair, maybe you have someone you love who you want to have a very special Christmas gift for, then that would be such a good idea. Make everyone around you happy and healthy. So check them out. And also leave me a 5-star review, please, on Apple Podcasts. That really helps reaching more people. And it's so important in these times to reach more people with happy and uplifting thoughts. As we all know, this has been a very tough year for everyone, I think, in different ways. So please be an angel and share this interview also with someone who matters to you and share this podcast. I really make it as my mission to uplift people and have people stay in a very pure, happy and healthy mindset and body. So that being said, without further ado, let's start right in to this beautiful conversation with Julian Robinson.
Leandra, thank you so much for joining the podcast. I've been really excited for this for a few weeks now. Glad that we were able to put it on the books. How's it going? All the way from Germany.
Yeah, hello. And thank you so much for having me. I'm really grateful we could make this work through the time change and different schedules.
Yeah, absolutely. So from the conversations that we briefly had online before, I know that you you have a really interesting story in regards to how you came to produce and work on the podcast that you do now, Pure Happy Healthy. How about we start off by you really just talking about your story of modeling and how it led you to where you are today.
Okay, cool. Yeah, thank you. So as you mentioned, I'm the host of the podcast Pure Happy Healthy, which the name is founded by my key values or my core values. And it hasn't always been my core values. It was really a journey that brought me there. And now it's so easy to say that, I'm super pure, happy, healthy, and that's what I want to stand for. But my whole journey really started already I would say in my youth, which was maybe a little bit difficult in terms of I had a really bad eating disorder and body dysmorphia. In my teens, it actually started when I was 1 year abroad in the United States and I got introduced to all the sugary things and all the hamburgers and stuff like this. So I gained a lot of weight and then I was really unhappy with my body ever after and started to lose weight until, I just got a little bit too skinny and I couldn't really stop anymore. And so I really had big struggles and a big fight with my body throughout my whole teens and then also starting in my 20s. And it happened that I got into the modeling industry, which was never really planned at that time. But I just got into the modeling industry. And this was kind of like a healing for me, which sounds a bit strange. But getting compliments from others and really learning how to move my body and really learning how my body looks really helped me to understand my body more and dive into really how my body feels, how it actually looks, because I had such a distorted image of my body that I couldn't really see myself properly. But then obviously when you're a model, you see the pictures and the videos of yourself afterwards. And then slowly over time, I realized how actually my body looked, which I had never seen in this way before. And then obviously getting compliments for your body might sound superficial, but it really helped me to see that my body is actually beautiful. And over a time, I could start to feel it myself and really heal that connection with my body. So at this current point, I'm still modeling. And now modeling has become something completely different for me, I think, because I really, as I said before, I really stand for my key values, which is pure, happy, healthy, and I would never get into an unhealthy situation or in a situation where I don't feel aligned with myself, not in my life in general, but also not in modeling. So I just take on jobs that really feel aligned to myself and my true person. And now when I'm in front of the camera, I really feel how I'm transporting this message. And this is what I stand for as a model. And then also showing this on the picture. And the whole journey has brought me more to myself. So I think especially in these days at the moment, authenticity is one of the most important things generally, but also especially in modeling. And having found my core values and for which I stand for really helps me now to also represent that in modeling. So I'm super grateful for that. And I started my podcast this year and all the topics resolve around pure, happy, healthy.
Very cool. And which episode do you think really is like the most impactful for you? Like which one do you feel like just you had the most enriching conversation and like what was the topic?
I think this is really hard to say and I cannot choose one because all the topics are very, very different because just lately I started making a kind of new routine into it. It's separated in four sectors, which is mindful me, mindful model, mindful mensch, and mindful master. So it's separated first as a solo episode. The next one is when I speak with another mindful model I met along my way about mindfulness in the industry. The next one is an episode in German because I'm from Germany and have quite a lot of German listeners and not everyone understands English so well. And my guests cannot speak English so well, some of them, and I still want to have the conversation with them. And then the master is a topic which is all around health or spirituality. So they're all very, very different. And that's what I like about actually my podcast, that it's not super, super niche down just to, let's say, modeling, but it has a very broad perspective because it really represents who I am because I'm not only, I don't like the word only, but I'm not just modeling. I do quite a lot of different stuff in my life. I'm also a designer. and a coach and a hypnotherapist. And I obviously host the podcast. So all my different interests blend into that podcast together. So I would say each of them is so unique. And that's what I like about podcasting, that I learn every single time from people from different angles and perspectives. And it makes myself grow so much. And I think just in this year, since I started to do this, I've learned more than in any other year, because everyone has a different perspective on stuff, right? And a different knowledge. Yeah. I love this.
Absolutely. I think it's important, and it would be beneficial to society if people were to seek out others with different perspectives more routinely, rather than, you know, sticking to, I guess, cohabitating with individuals who only see the world through the same lens that they do.
We never stop growing, to be honest, when we're open for it. And I think life is a journey which is made for learning from others, and also from yourself, from the let's call it mistakes that you do, or things that don't work out. And I think when you're open to that, life can teach you so much nonstop. And I think this journey is never finished. So I think the exchange with other humans about topics that matter is so important, because that's how we can individually grow so much.
Absolutely. And, you know, sticking to the topic of happiness, what does happiness mean to you? And, you know, taking that a step further, what, in your opinion, is the reason why it's so difficult for most individuals to truly achieve happiness?
To your first question, I think happiness is a state of mind. I think some people confuse happiness with a moment, or a moment of bliss that they think is happiness, like when I get a new dress, or when you get the new house or car or whatever it is, then you might have the feeling of happiness, but it's nothing that actually lasts. It's something like some adrenaline, that bliss that you feel. But will you wake up every single day of your life and be happy about that dress? I doubt it. And therefore, I think it's really more like a, if you can call it like a state of mind, or kind of lifestyle for me. Happiness is something that I experience in my life, which I connect very deeply to gratitude. I'm really, really grateful for my life, how it is now. And I think that's also the important thing about happiness, that you already appreciate what you have in this current moment, and see and focus on the positive things in your life rather than the negative things. Because people get so stuck in their thoughts about the past, what has not worked out and why they're suffering now, what bad childhood or whatever, or they're so scared of things in the future, what could possibly happen, and all that fears that it brings up, that they completely lose the present moment and actually miss the opportunity to already be grateful for what you have around you, and therefore have the lack of happiness in your life how it is now. Because let's be honest, the past doesn't exist anywhere. The future doesn't exist anymore anywhere. The only thing that exists is this moment right now. And I think to your second question, why it is so hard for people to achieve happiness, I think is because people, first of all, often are running behind things in the outside more than having the happiness in the inside, and try to fill the gap or the emptiness inside with either consumerism or maybe addictions or sex or food or whatever it is. But that's just that moment of bliss that will give you the short happiness, but not having the long state of happiness. And
sorry to cut you off. As you were talking about that, one thing I was thinking of, you know, like, and I agree with you, you know, a lot of times we think that, you know, buying this thing will make us happy, or going and doing this thing will make us happy. It's looking forward to things. It's, you know, placing our value, placing our happiness upon, you know, insignificant objects. You know, I think of, you know, when, you know, like a new iPhone comes out, you know, everyone, you know, myself included, I've been there too. You know, you get so excited about, you know, getting this thing, and like, you know, you're thinking about it all the time. And then once you get it, it's like, okay. And then it kind of just fades away. Like it's very momentary. It's not actual happiness. But I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
What you just said, I have a really good example for that, which actually was a really, really big step in my self-development in order to achieve the feeling of pure, happy, healthy, which I have now, was that I was so discontent with my life and my my body especially, that I put all the discontent on my body, and especially I put it on my breasts because I have a quite androgynous natural look and not many curves, and the picture that society has from a woman is at least in most societies that you have like a big breast, big butt, and like these curves and that feminine body, and I never had that. So I projected all that discontent on it, and I decided at one point in the beginning of my 20s that I would get a breast augmentation, because I thought that this will bring me the happiness in my life that I was looking for, and the content also with my body, because I had projected all the dissatisfaction on that fact. And then after I got the breast augmentation, I actually was not happy. I was happy for a little bit, for a few days. But then after that, I thought, oh, maybe I should have chosen bigger, or maybe I should have chosen smaller, or I don't really like how it looks now, or maybe I can do something else on my body. So that doubt came again. And that led me to thinking, okay, everything I had thought that would make me happy actually didn't make me happy. So I got to that point where I was like, okay, I have to look deeper. You cannot fix your problems on the outside. It's an inside job. And you can only get to that point of really being fulfilled and happy when you look inside and heal from inside, and also realize that this feeling of pureness or happiness is not attached to anything, not to outer things, material things, and also not things that you put in your body like implants. So I had them removed again, actually, because I just felt like they didn't belong to me anymore. And that's also one big part why the name of my podcast is also Pure, because after I had them removed, that was the first time I realized how good it feels to feel pure in your body, but also with the world. Yeah.
That's awesome. So do you think that, you know, modern society prioritizes happiness in its citizens? I'm very curious to hear your thoughts holistically, as well as, you know, from a European vantage point versus American. Like, do you think there's any distinction between the two? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, as we've just discussed, I think economy has a big interest in not having happy people, because they can sell their stuff if people are not happy and they want to get things in order to become happy. So I think the more capitalistic a society is, the more at least the economy wants people to remain unhappy. So they just go for the next shopping or the next catch. I wouldn't necessarily say that the politics also want the same thing. Because I think we need to distinguish between the economy and the politics, even though, of course, we know they work together. But also, I wouldn't say that just because a country is, let's say, more communist, that people are more happy. I think having a certain level of lifestyle can definitely, or like money can definitely help you to be happy, but it's not an aspect that necessarily makes you happy. I think it can make your life easier, and therefore you can dedicate yourself more to things that can actually fill you up and make you happy and have the money for self-development or for buying books that help you or access to good education that can make you happy. Whereas if you have to hustle every day and work in a job that is really horrible, you probably will just get by with the money. It might be hard to achieve that happiness because you have no time to think about what happiness actually is, or even to see your friends or do the things that light you up or have the community. So I think having a certain life standard can help, but it doesn't mean that all people who have a good life standard are happy. And one interesting thing that came in my mind when you asked the question was that Nepal actually is the only country that has the, instead of the, I think it's in English, it's called BPR, like the brutto income, yearly brutto income. They have the yearly happiness factor as a currency. So they measure the happiness of their people. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was going to say, are you referencing GDP?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Work for it. Yeah. So they have something like this for the happiness factor of their citizens. And I think this is such an amazing and beautiful idea that we don't only look how much money does every person make each year, but also how content and how happy are the people. And Nepal isn't necessarily one of the richest countries. So you can see that it might not be connected. And they're also shown to be one of the most content people in the world. So I think this is such a beautiful idea. Maybe we should introduce that to more countries.
That's amazing. And when you look at the distinction between Europe and America, like, do you see any attributes between the two that are transferable to kind of benefit each other? Or do you think that they're fairly similar as far as their outlook on happiness and how they look at their citizens?
I think this is a difficult question because I don't want to put Europe as a pot. I know that sometimes from the perspective of the United States, it seems like Europe is all the same. But I think each country really, really differs a lot in Germany. For example, in the north, and I think it's Finland and Sweden, they have the highest depression rate of most countries in the world, whereas more in the south, where there is more sun, etc., the people are known to be pretty happy and living like a really good and fulfilled life, if you can measure it like this. So it's kind of hard to say like all Europe is like this. What I would say, and what my experience is also from having lived in the United States for quite a while, is that health is health is probably more accessible for more people in Europe. And I think health is really a big, big, big factor, especially if it comes to food, which can really influence your mood. And I think that's something where the United States, at least the low-income class, really struggles with in certain areas, especially because there is not, first of all, not an access everywhere to healthy and unprocessed good food. And second of all, the gap between the price range of good food and really unhealthy food is so big that I think a lot of part of society is kept very unhealthy in terms of their nutrition choices and in terms of the access they have to the health insurance as well, which is much more social in most countries in Europe. Everyone has basic health insurance here, and it's really affordable to get veggies and fruit and healthy foods, which is not the case in the United States. So I think this is actually a big factor of being healthy and therefore also being more happy, because health is also, of course, as we know, something that comes from our mind and the connection between mind and body. So I think that's a big factor, which probably differs between the two continents. Yeah.
No, yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And as we were talking, one of the things I was thinking about was how, you know, for instance, so, you know, from an environmental standpoint, I was thinking about how, you know, during this pandemic in particular, I've realized that, you know, my mental well-being when I'm, so like right now I'm in New Jersey, I'm in the suburbs, like I'm like right next to a beautiful park where I run sometimes. I did a 17-mile bike ride yesterday, which was amazing. I feel like when I'm here, I feel like mentally I feel a lot more sane, and I feel like I'm able to process and be a better version of myself versus when I'm cooped up in my, you know, tiny apartment, not close to nature, not able to just like go out and, you know, be around, you know, parks and things like that. Like, of course I can get to a park, but it's not like right there. I feel like automatically, like just from that vantage point, I feel happier. But then also to your point, you know, I think about before I started to eat better, like I'm not a vegan or a vegetarian, but I don't eat much meat. But when I do eat meat, like I make sure it's like high quality. I don't eat processed things like I used to. And I absolutely, like as soon as I started doing that, I could feel a huge difference in my energy and, you know, just my ability to process and think and to like all these things. So like I definitely think to your point that there is some correspondence to, you know, what we're eating and, you know, our environment and that having a major impact on our well-being and therefore our happiness.
Oh yeah, for sure. That really, I completely agree with that. I think there's a lot of factors that every one of us can do in order to feel more happy. And it's actually sounds pretty basic, but it's the simple things that become to our routine that actually make happy, in my experience at least. So I think obviously it differs from person to person, but I have observed that there are some key aspects which are usually the same from people all over the world, no matter where you are. And this is a healthy nutrition, which obviously, in my opinion, is different for each person because every person is built differently and needs different things and has different gut bacteria, etc. But generally saying, it's a lot of fresh produce, fruits and vegetables, unprocessed foods. And if you eat meat and dairy, then good quality and not too often. In regulation and going out to nature, connecting back to nature. I think a lot of people, especially in the big city, really have just learned to just go out and connect with trees and water. And I think we need the elements and we need to move in nature. Movement is such a big aspect. So many people sit in offices or now at home all day long without having left the office or a building or seeing the sunlight once a day. And we are also not made for this. We're meant to be out, breathe fresh air, move our bodies. And then I think it's also a big aspect is community. I think we are meant to be with other people. Of course, for me, for example, I also need a lot of time just for myself to charge up my batteries. But then other people who are good for us, people who we feel connected to, who help us grow and to support us are so important. And I think especially in my experience from living in New York for a while, was that people are so lonely. Everyone is just up to their own business, just running and hustling. And the human connection, even though you're in such a big city, is really almost not existent. And I think people are subconsciously craving for that connection. But and I think over time, it makes you unhappy if you don't have fulfilled relationships, no matter what relationship that is. If you have a partner, or many partners or friends or family, whoever that is, who just lights you up and gives you good energy. I think so important.
I absolutely agree. And during this pandemic, like, what do you think? Because I feel like there's a lot of things that are happening this year that's making people even more isolated than ever before. So for those people who, you know, may live in a city and were already always on the move and not interacting with people, or others who may been able to prior to this but can't now, like, what are some things for those people who are isolated in this particular moment that they can do to really make the best of a pretty, you know, quite, like, to be quite frank, shitty situation?
Oh yeah. I mean, this year has been challenging and on many levels, I would say, but I am very grateful for technology. And I think technology offers us such a good possibility to connect even with people all around the world. And I mean, as you can see now, we're speaking all over the Atlantic, right?
Yeah.
And, so I think you can find your tribe no matter what, even if you're at home and you're in quarantine or in lockdown. You can still go on social media have a podcast, or if maybe you are struggling to find or talk to people, you can also maybe listen to podcasts, because also listening to people speaking, I think, also makes you feel less isolated. And it's there are so many different ways of connecting digitally. I mean, I don't think it's a replacement on the long run, because I think as humans, we need touch, we need physical connections, and we need to be with people, experience things with people, but also knowing that, let's say, hopefully the situation is not forever. I think it could be a nice medium for in between, to really help you keeping and growing this connection. And actually, a funny note on the side, I lived in Australia since November till end of May. And actually, my plan was to permanently move there. But then COVID came, and then I lost my job there. And I tried to stay there because I really love Australia. And it was my dream to settle there for a while. But slowly, most of my friends who were internationals, they left back home. So I also lived by myself in a flat, because the flatmates left back to the US, where they were from. Most of my friends had left, or there were Australians who isolated with their parents as they didn't want to spend money on a flat and didn't want to harm their parents' health. So I was pretty isolated there. And first of all, I thought it was a good opportunity to really take this chance to dive deeper with myself and really connect to myself. And when do you actually spend so much time with yourself? But then obviously I needed connection as well. And that's when I really discovered for myself Zoom and phone calls, which I had hated before. I'm really not a phone person, but through that, that was my only opportunity to stay in touch with my friends back in Germany and all over the world. So it was really a good chance for me to also use this technology and jump over my own shadows and boundaries there, and really open myself to these new opportunities. So it was a chance, and now I'm much more easier with phone callings and Zoom, as you can see.
Yeah, that's awesome. I definitely can relate. I feel like, especially social media, I haven't, before the pandemic, I hadn't used Facebook in years. And then I, like, you know, added the app back onto my phone just so that I could stay in touch with people a bit easier, because that's where a lot of people were. I feel like this podcast, I started this during the pandemic. I feel like this was just a good way to talk to interesting new people like yourself. I've gotten back into chess, and it's actually funny because I haven't played chess in a while, but then I'm not sure if you're familiar with that new Netflix show, The Queen's Gambit.
No, not really. No.
Yeah, it's like this show about a fictional character who turns into like this chess prodigy, but it just like kind of reignited my interest in chess. And I was talking to my therapist about getting back into chess and playing games on my app. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I get to play with people all around the world. And she's like older. And she's like, that is amazing. She's like, you can play chess with someone like in another country, like on your phone. And I'm like, yeah. And it's pretty awesome that, you know, we have this. And like you said, it's definitely not something that's like a long-term substitute, but for the time being, it's definitely valuable to be able to have it.
What my biggest advice to people is in the pandemic to make it through mentally, I think is really surrender to the situation and let go of your need to control. It's easier said than done, but this is something that this pandemic is teaching us the best. I think that nothing is like, we cannot control everything, and especially not this planet and not Mother Nature. And if we surrender to that and just let go of all the expectations that we have and all the plans and ideas, which is again living too much in the future, because this present moment is now, right? And if you ask yourself, what is actually missing in my life right now? And if you go back to that moment of gratitude, then at least I for myself can say, okay, actually my life is pretty good. I'm alive. I'm still healthy. I have two legs. I have two arms. I can speak. I have all my senses. I got money to buy healthy food every single day. I have a home, a place where I don't need to be outside. So actually, even if the situation is out of my control and I would like to have things differently, I'm pretty grateful. And therefore, I think I can let go of this needed to control every single step that I will do in my next week or month or whatever. It is like a journey to get there, to say, okay, I just let go of this. But I think it's a good way to learn at the moment, learn that. And it will help us certainly for the future, even if this is over, because people were, you could see it was like everything was so planned out and people were so sticking to their routines and their control mechanisms and how their life needs to look and what they need to do in 1 year, 2 years, the career ladder, blah, blah, blah. So sometimes it's good to just let it go. Yeah.
So I know earlier on, you kind of touched upon how there are those who are in less fortunate situations and how it's harder for them to attain happiness just given their circumstances of not being able to get healthy food and so on and so forth. For those who are in more dire situations, you know, whether it be that, you know, the pandemic translated to them losing their job, they're not able to pay their rent, you know, economics, I feel like across the world, not even just in the United States, is in a really tough predicament in its current moment. I definitely think some nations have handled it a bit better. But for those who are in situations where they're going to lose their home, they don't know where their next meal is going to be, things like that. Like, what would be your advice to them? How should they respond to that situation? And what's the hope that they should have when things are looking quite dire?
First of all, I want to say that I'm speaking this out of a very privileged situation. I'm a white heterosexual woman living in Germany, which obviously is already a privilege itself. So just saying this beforehand, but I think that we have the chance to really visualize our life how we want it to be and to really manifest everything into our life, which means I don't know if you're familiar with the law of attraction and manifesting.
Yeah.
I think you're at any given moment in your life, no matter how deep you're in the shit. And then I don't know if I'm allowed.
Yeah, absolutely. Say shit again.
Okay. No matter how deep you're in the shit. I think sometimes the moment of like our deepest drama and the moments where things look the darkest in our life, they're our biggest teachers. And I have been on very dark moments in my life where I really thought, I don't know how to continue. But looking back, that was my biggest opportunity in life. And that were the moments where I learned most out of life. And these were the moments who really made me so much stronger and made me the person I am today. And I think really this crisis is also globally something that is really challenging us in many different ways, internally, but also externally. But I think it is, as I said before, it's such a big chance of each of us to go deal with our own inner demons, let's say, and deal with our shit, which has piled up mostly for such a long time, and really get our lives straight again. And also, I think at any given moment in time, you can change your life. You can change your life because everything that you're thinking towards and everything that you're manifesting in your brain, if the good or the bad, is going to come into your life, because I believe in the law of attraction that I've experienced actually in my life all the time. So, I mean, if you're very deep down there at the moment, it's maybe hard to imagine, but make yourself maybe a vision board. How do you want your life to look like? And if you lose your job, see it as an opportunity. Maybe you didn't like that job anyway. See it as an opportunity that maybe something much better is already coming away your way. And imagine, maybe even make a list. That's what I'm doing. How do you want your next job to be like? What should your life look like in the future? Because this crashes is just the crash before you can build up something new. Sometimes we need a crash. Sometimes it's like the phoenix with the ashes. It needs to go to ashes before the phoenix can come up again. And this is the opportunity for every single one at the moment. And really trying to stay positive, connect back with yourself, do all these things that we were saying before, go to nature, keep yourself happy and sane and eat well, connect with amazing people, keep your energy levels high, and then look forward to what you want to create in your life and what you want your life to look like, and sending these high vibe energies out there. Because I believe that when we believe that this is possible for us, it will come back to us. What we send out is given back to us.
Beautiful. And what would you say in your life has been the best advice that someone has ever given you that, like, to this day you think has really made you who you are today and has really just helped you to continue to evolve?
Actually, it's just one single sentence. And I unfortunately don't remember where I read it, but it has stuck with me since this present day. And that's, you are what you've been looking for. And I think this is so powerful because it already tells you that everything you are and everything you want and everything, all this beauty, the whole life is already within you. And the only thing that we need to do is connect back to that when we've lost it. Because as children, we are naturally content and pure, happy, healthy, right? And then over the time, we somehow lose that in our lives at times. And then when a dark moment comes, we don't believe in ourselves or something. And then this sentence, you are what you've been looking for. Don't search happiness on the outside. Don't seek validation from others from the outside. Like, don't look for the next shopping good. Like, it's already within you. Everything you're looking for is within you. And I think this is so incredibly beautiful. And this is what I remember all the time.
Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful. I wanted to ask another question, but I feel like that's a perfect way to end, to be honest. Thank you so much. This has been really, really amazing. Before we go though, I do want, I'm going to put all of your info and everything, in the description, but if you want to just give your social media, website, podcast, and all that for the listeners one more time.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It was really, really amazing speaking with you. And yeah, I'm happy you found also podcasting for you. Like, keep up the work. It's so important at these times. So yeah, my podcast is called Pure Happy Healthy. You can find me on Instagram at Leandra Haupt, and my podcast on Instagram is Pure Happy Healthy, and my website is leandra-haupt.com. And yeah, that's so far my media. Yes.